and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 21. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 21. Our Lord Jesus giving here what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. It says in verse number 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And so there's this multitude, the disciples, and all that the different variety of people that are there. The Lord has been teaching, and what he does is he's just mentioned about this of the righteousness, the righteousness that God requires must exceed the righteousness that they thought was the best on the earth, and that is of the scribes and the Pharisees. Last time we touched on this in verse 21, where it says, "And ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." And what it's speaking about is murder. And what the sixth commandment in the scripture unto us. And he says, "But I say unto you," and this is going to be a theme through this sermon on the Mount, his message, his teaching, "But I say unto you," and that's what the Lord Jesus, he speaks with authority. He is God come in the flesh. And so he is, the thinking of man has been distorted. The commentary and man and the Jews going into the Word of God and reconciling themselves unto how God is served and how they should obey the Lord and what they give to the people. They take the Word of God and they say, "Well, okay, here's how you can take care of obeying God." They've totally distorted the message and the Word of God. And so Jesus is saying, "You've heard it said this, that, and the other, but I say unto you, this is the way that it is." He says, "But I say unto you," in regards to this regarding murder, "that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Okay? And so here they said, what was being said commonly is, "You murder, you're in danger of the judgment." Of like the magistrate, like the Romans. In that, which was the least serious of all. The Lord says, the way God looks at it, and the way I tell you that it is that if you're angry at your brother without a cause, that one is in danger of the judgment. But he goes on to say here, "And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca, shall be in danger of the council," that is the Sanhedrin. So to the Jews, that's a greater thing than standing before the Romans, is this of the council, the Sanhedrin of the Jews. And then he says here, "And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And so he says, of Raca, it's speaking about, that person is of no value, that they're just like the scum of the earth, and which was common with what these religious elite of the day. If somebody was found, we know in the scriptures, if somebody was found with infirmity and leprosy, blindness such as that, the automatic thinking of the leadership of the Jews was that there was some kind of sin that was at hand. The disciples even declared that about the blind man that the Lord healed, and the Lord told them the purpose that man was born blind from his birth. It wasn't the sin of the man, it wasn't the sin of the parents, but that the works of God might be fulfilled in him. So he says, "You say of your brother, of another, that they're of little value, Raca, then you're in danger of going to the Sanhedrin." He said, "But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." You take your fellow man and you discount them. You say there's no spiritual help or hope for them. You say that they're just a lost, worthless cause with no hope of salvation, no hope of turning. You're in danger of hell fire yourself. And so the Lord sets it straight. This is an issue of the heart. And there is more that men are accountable to before God than that of killing one another. Hatred and murder in the heart, and a self-wisdom and conceitedness about station, we thinking better of ourselves than we think of another. Every person, every soul is valuable. Every person, every soul has, by being created by God, has their place, and none are to be discounted by any person spiritually in that. Well, we have conflict. We need the law of the land. We have all those things in place. The Lord says that the law is for the disobedient and such as that. But every soul, every person is of value before the Lord. Here's why it is. Every man, woman, boy, and girl has been created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, they are of great value before the Lord. Then he says here in verse number 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, to come to worship, to come to give unto the Lord, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. If there's just a little problem, an issue between one that's coming to worship and another that he remembers, the Lord brings it to heart and mind, go get that settled before you come before the Lord to worship. Go get it settled. And be reconciled. Seek reconciliation. Peace is what the Lord has called us into. Verse number 25, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. The Lord here, he's giving a practical example about we should be reconciled to all men and be at peace with all men. That's our desire, especially the children of God, but that's the way it's to be amongst mankind, that we are to be at peace one with another and not to hold these grudges even in the hearts, even in our hearts. But there's a principle here that's at hand about the Lord is on his way. The judge is coming. And he says, agree with your adversary. So there's an adversary between two people. And that's the way it is with the unsaved. That's the way it is with the unsaved and the Lord Jesus Christ, is Jesus is the adversary. While the soul is unsaved, Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the one that condemns to hell and the lake of fire for unrepentance and unbelief. And he stands as an adversary before sinners. And yes, being merciful and gracious as he is, he says, come unto me. He says, receive me. He says, repent and turn and believe and trust in me and my salvation through my gospel. But those that are not willing to do so, those that reject the message and the word and the gospel of the Lord, they are found in an adversarial situation. And the Lord says, there's coming a time, there's always coming a time in all things that there's going to be reckoning, and you need to get right with your adversary before it's too late. He says, lest at any time, the time of our life is unknown unto us. Our lives are in the hand of our Lord God Almighty. And you know what? Just like that, our life can be done and into eternity, into the other side, into reckoning with our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, we go. And once that process gets going, once that of the last breath and the last heartbeat and the closing of the eyes in this life, he says here, the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Once it gets going, it happens fast. And so it is with this application of even our lives and our responsibility and accountability before our Lord and our Creator. Our accountability into the gospel and the coming of the Savior and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. The command of the Lord for sinners to repent and believe. Get right with your adversary. Don't be found an enemy of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus in verse number 27 picks up another thought here, and he says, you've heard it was said of them of old time. So again, another reference to what has been said in the past. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And it's interesting that these are following along with the exception of that fifth commandment. And so with the sixth and the seventh commandment, the Lord Jesus is going down the line in interaction between people. The first commandment, or the fifth commandment unto our relationships with one another, is that of our treatment of our parents, that we're to honor our parents, that is of the Lord. Parents and the family and the home is of the Lord. And he says children are to honor their parents. But then when we get out here in just full society, our engagement one with another, and all the citizenry of the land and of the world, the Lord follows along, and he deals with murder, and then he deals with adultery. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. It was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, verse 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thine eye right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And so the Lord says here, in old time it says, don't commit physically adultery. But the Lord pointing us to the problem that is in our heart and the problem that is within, he says, but I say unto you, verse 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He's not talking about seeing women and observing that there are women around, but the one that looks upon a woman or women and in their minds begins to think lustful thoughts and wicked thoughts, adulterous thoughts, if they're married, fornicative thoughts, if they're unmarried, that man is guilty. That person is guilty. Man or woman is guilty of adultery in their heart. Now, there is a difference between that committed in the heart and then that which is committed physically. And granted, nothing happens physically without it first running across our minds and in our heart, if you will. And so, but there's accountability for the physical, and there's accountability for that of the heart too. God sees. We may think the Lord doesn't see inside, but he knows just as much what we've done in our hearts as we've done outside. And that is the factory of sin. That is the Genesis, the place of where all this comes from in our hearts. And the Lord says, there's a problem with your heart. How about you? I pray that you'll see that you need a heart change, and you can only find it in our Lord Jesus Christ, his salvation, his gospel, seeing his substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection in your place, paying for the debt of your sins, to repent before God that you're guilty of sinning against him, and believe and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. See that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.